Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. Man, I know that there's a right now word, a word in due season, a word that's ultimately going to change your life forever. So I'm asking you to go ahead and lean all the way in. Come with expectation and receive a word from God that he'll be able to speak a word to you in a way that you are able to receive it, that you'll be able to understand it and begin to apply it to your life. Man, I know it will change your life forever. And we're going to go ahead and make our declaration, and then we're going to pray and jump right into the word of God in the name of Jesus. Now, in according to Isaiah 61:1, it says this. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord, he has anointed me. Amen. To preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the garment, praise the spirit. He said to give them to them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give glory, we give honor, we give praise that is due your name. Father, this is the day which you have made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people are not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. I declare in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I covenant with you right now for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father God, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of our hearts. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for it now and in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for joining us here at Ignite Depot, aka Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God and to teach you who God is and what his desire is for your life. We do this in simplicity and teaching the word of God in practical ways that will help you to be doers of the word and not hearers only, that will ultimately change your life forever. Now, last time, if you join us, we was talking about the choice is yours and how, you know, we've been in the series that Babylon is falling. And, you know, for so, you know, one of the real deceptions that the adversary tries to get you to believe is that you don't have a choice, that God makes you do whatever it is you do. In fact, I've heard people say this time and time again, God is in control. God is in control. Now, if you're talking about the overall scheme of things and how all this thing is going to end, yep, God is in control of that. But when you're talking about how what you do on a day-to-day basis, the decisions that you make, the ways that you go, is God in control of all that? No. How do we find out that you have a choice in a matter? How did we find out that God has set before you the choices of what you were going to do and what you are not going to do? He actually said this all the way, and we shared this last time. In accordance to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we talked about how God has set before people a decision. He won't make you or I do anything. He won't make you or I do anything. God won't. The devil can't. God won't make you do anything. The devil can't make you do anything. He knows that you have a choice. But what the adversary tries to convince you is that you have no choice in a matter whatsoever. But even God said this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. He says this. He says, the word is near you, is very near to you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart, that you may do it. He says, the word is in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. He says, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if you turn your hearts away that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to Jordan to go in and possess. He says again, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your father. What he's saying, life and death is presented before you every day. Now, in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, they had the kingdom of God. And he told them one thing. He says, do not eat of this the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you do it, you will surely die, or you will separate yourself from my way of doing things. All they knew was good. All they knew was life. All they knew was God's way of doing things. But he did put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. The adversary, on the other hand, came. Remember, he is the antagonist. He comes to contend with you. He comes to contend with what is good. So what does he do? He comes and he's contending with you. He's coming to combat what it is God says. And he took what Eve said. He said, can you not eat of all the trees of the garden? And Eve said in Genesis 3, yeah, we can eat of all the trees of the garden. He says, but that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we shall not eat of it, for in the day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. And the adversary turned around and said, man, that ain't true. What? That ain't true. He says, the reason why God says this is because God knows that the moment you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like him, having the knowledge of good and evil. So up to that point, it tells you right there, the only thing that they knew at that point was only good. So they had a decision to make. They could obey what it is God said, or they can follow after what the adversary says. The adversary presented this case to them. Now they're making a decision. Are they going to ponder on what it is the word has, God has already said to them according to his word, or are they going to ponder on and act on what it is the adversary did? Well, Eve pondered on it. The three points, she had the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust of the eye, it looked good. Lust of the flesh, it looked like it would be beneficial to her body. And the pride of life, it looked like it would give her something or a position that she did not previously already have. She pondered on it long enough to the point she acted out on what it is that she had thought about. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the exact same thing the adversary is trying to get people to do today. And as a result of her thinking on what it is the adversary said, she made a decision and she obeyed what the adversary said more so than she obeyed what God said. And when she did it, she turned to her husband, who had the exact same conversation, and he acted on it the same way she did. And as a result, it caused them to transition from the kingdom of God. It transitioned them over into the kingdom of darkness. And then the Babylonian system, the foundational part for the Babylonian system to come about began. Where did it really get rooted and really got grounded at was in Genesis chapter 9. When you're talking about how God had already brought them out, the flood had already happened. God had made a covenant with Noah that it would not rain anymore. In fact, that rainbow that's one organization is trying to use it that's in an abominable way is the rainbow is a rainbow that God had created that sits before the throne of God, that is a sign of his covenant that he will never flood the earth again by water. So when God sees that rainbow, it is a sign that He will never destroy the earth again by water. It is a covenant. In fact, it says this in Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 12. It says, and God says, this is the sign or the indicator of the covenant which I make between me and you. Talk about him and Noah. And he says, not only between me and you, Noah, but every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. He says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it should be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's upon the earth. Now, God was the one who took the rainbow and established the covenant, right? Y'all see that? God was the one who took the rainbow and established the covenant. Now, what did the adversary do? Remember, he has no creative abilities of his own. He can only take what already exists and to pervert it. So what did he do? He took something he knew was totally an abomination against the word of God. When God says, for this cause, I have a man and I have a woman, a biological male and a biological female. And those two should come together, and the two should become one flesh. And what shall they produce? They shall produce a godly child, produce a child. Now, you cannot produce a child without the seed of a man, which is a sperm, and the egg of a woman, and a womb that's found in a biologically female. Even if a male changes his sex to a female, he still has the DNA and the equipment, and he cannot produce an egg within himself. If his so-called partner decided to get together, they would have to go and get an egg from a woman who has a womb, who they would have to in turn deposit the seed that's in that man into the womb of that woman, or deposit, have to be able to cause the sperm, which is a seed, into the womb of that woman with the egg to try to come together to produce another child. That is the only way you're going to be able to do that. But so the adversary said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? God used that emblem as a sign of a covenant that he won't destroy earth anymore. So I'm going to, he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up with a sign that's going to say, hey, this is a covenant between, that's going to show that even though it's totally against what it is God's word says, totally against the covenant that God made, I'm going to use that same image to try to, as a distraction, I'm going to use that same image to be able to bring about and use it as propaganda to try to get you to compromise your thoughts or your beliefs on the situation. I'm going to use it to try to brainwash you, to desensitize you, to get you to beat you down, desensitize, expose you to something until you think it's the norm, to try to jam you up, to think it, you know, take it, to make it to mean something is bad. And because my ultimate goal is to get you to convert to my way of thinking. So he says, I'm going to systematically persuade, you know, people to accept a certain allegiance, a command, or a doctrine, or teaching, or instruction, even though he already knows it is counterproductive and does not line up with what God's word says. That's what the adversary does. He takes something that God made and he perverts it because he has no ability to create anything new. All he can do is take what already exists and turns it into something that is worse. Is there something? Is there something against the people? Are you talking about the people? Are you condemning the people? I'm not condemning the people. I'm not in a position to condemn the people. But what I'm sharing with you is what the adversary, how the adversary does what he does, how he goes about doing what he does. And in doing so, that's why there's so much confusion. What used to not people used to say clearly is not normal. People are beginning to say, well, you know, that God might be all right with that. In fact, you got pastors, you got people in pulpits saying that what God clearly says in his word is not the norm. People said, well, maybe God did. Maybe God. Well, maybe God didn't mean that. Well, maybe God didn't mean it to be that way. In fact, you know, when you're talking about the whole system about the Babylon is falling, when you look at Babylon, now remember when God called told Noah, when he made a covenant with Noah, this is what he told Noah in Genesis 9 when Noah came out of the ark. This is what he said, verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's what God instructed Noah and his sons to do after they came out of the ark. But look at how the adversary, remember now, the fact that sin is already in the world, sin is already in the earth, the adversary is going to take what was supposed to be good and pervert it and turn it to something that's worse. Now listen to what happened in Genesis chapter 9. Look at what happened in Genesis chapter 9. It says it this way. It says that now the earth, the whole earth had one language and it had one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they prosper or propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not be able to understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased from building the city. Therefore, it is called Babel. That's where you get the term Babylonian from, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. What was God's instructions to Noah? For them to be fruitful, multiply, and refill or replenish the entire earth. What had the people made a decision to do? We came up with our own way. We're gonna do our own thing. What we're gonna do, as opposed to doing what God told us to do, we're going to build our own city. We're going to have our own name. We're going to have our own thing and everything. And they began to do exactly what it is that they said they were going to do. And see, the danger about having mixed ideologies or having a wrong ideology, even though the truth is made available to you, because God's word is truth and that truth is made available to you, you can come up with some pretty squirrely stuff on your own and begin to take what was true and turn it into something that is worth. You know, it's interesting that even, you know, when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he was writing, you know, because Paul, he was a Jew, and he was very passionate about the Jews coming to the knowledge of the Lord, coming to the knowledge of the things of God, coming into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said this. He was so passionate about it, because remember, the choice is always yours. And this is what he said. He says, you know, brethren, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul's putting it out there. This is my heart's desire, that Israel might be saved. He says, for I bear them witness. Listen to this, that they have a zeal or a passion for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant, are not knowing of God's righteousness and seeking. See, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. So what are they doing instead? They're seeking to establish their own righteousness and has not submitted to the righteousness of God. So what happened? God had a way that was right, but the children of Israel made a decision that they wasn't going to accept that way. They was, because they were ignorant of it, they made a decision to go about seeking their own righteousness, and they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, so many people are doing that today. People have made a decision, you know, they say they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge of God. They don't want to do it the way that the word of God says to do it. They want to come up with their own way. There's all kind of different, they say, all kind of different ways to get to God. There's all kind of ways to live this Christian life, that you don't have to live by the word of God. You know, that word is outdated. That word is you know, regressive. That word just keeps you in bondage. That word does all these things. And, you know, and many people will think this is the first time these things have ever happened, but God said in his word, there's nothing new under the sun. That's why it says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1, people are looking at all the reasons why all these things are going on in the earth. And, you know, and Jesus is talking about that there's going to be famines and wars and rumors of wars and all these things that's going on in the earth. And most people say, why in the world are all these things going on? How is all this stuff happening? And why isn't God doing something about it? Why doesn't God just come down and fix it himself? If he's supposed to be in control, which that's another one of those things that people say, you know, God's in control. God's in control of everything that happens. Well, you found out last time, God makes the decision. The choice is yours. Just like we just read, the choice of whether you choose life or choose death is up to you. God cannot make that decision for you. He will not make that decision for you. The adversary cannot make that decision for you. It comes down to you. See, this is the way that God's pattern work. God gives the word. Then that word receives a body, right? And then what that body does, or that individual does, is that body takes that word to the world. So God gives his word. Then his disciples heard that word. What did the disciples do? They received that word, and then they went out into the world to bring results of that word. So if prime example, Jesus said, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And so then when Jesus went to places, he was saying, he says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. And these are the things he's anointed me to do. So when Jesus received that word, Jesus went out into the world. He began to present that word to the people to bring to pass what that word says. This is the way that the patterns of our life works. We hear the word. The word comes to us, like what I'm doing right now, and I'm sharing the word with you. With that word comes revelation. And then once you receive the revelation of what this word that you're hearing, then it turns to inspiration. Now you're inspired. Because as a result of the word coming to you and you receiving revelation, or it's been revealed knowledge to you, now that revelation brings about inspiration. It's going to inspire you to do something about what it is that you've heard. And see, under that inspiration of the revelation of what it is you heard, old things are passed away and all things become new. What happened? You heard the word, you received the word, you was inspired by that word, you acted out on that word, and as a result of what you heard, you receive the old thing that you, the old way that you used to think about the matter is passed away, and now you receive something that is new. That's what the word of God does, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't bring about a whole bunch of distraction. He doesn't use propaganda. He doesn't use brainwashing. You know what? He has men or women of God who will present his word to the people. right? They present the word to the people. And when people hear the word and they make a decision whether they're going to receive that word, then they'll receive what's known as revealed knowledge. It's revealed to them. When they receive a revelation, a revealing of that word, it inspires them because now they see there's a different way of doing things. And now they realize there's a different way of doing things because they're inspired by what it is that they that was revealed to them. The old way which they saw that thing is replaced by something that is brand new. And what does it do? It brings, if they act on it, it will bring about new results in their life. But you also have a decision, because you can go the other way. You can hear the word. You can have that word revealed to you, and you can make a decision, man, I'm not going to do that. I know what it says, but I'm not going to do that. And see, what brings about all the fruit, what is causing all the fruit of this Babylonian system beginning falling apart and falling away, because it was never God's desire for the Babylonian system be in place in the first place, because he had already established what? The kingdom of God, or God's, you know, dominion over a domain, impacting it with his will, his purpose, and his plan. He already had a way of doing things. But when Adam and Eve made a decision to not follow after God, but follow after what the adversary said anyway, even though they knew what God's word says, they made a decision to hear what was said by the adversary. They became inspired by what he said, and they turned to something that was never meant for them. But God sent his son Jesus for you and for me to deliver us out of darkness and bring us into his marvelous light. And he presented the kingdom of God to a lost and dying world. And he says, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, and what the kingdom of God will provide you in the kingdom, it heals the sick. In the kingdom, it raises the dead. In the kingdom, it cleanses you of infirmities and disease. In the kingdom, it casts out demons. He says, in the kingdom, you have the God kind of life, but you have to make a decision to do it God's way. And for many people, the adversary is trying to get you to do everything else but doing it God's way. He wants you to have one foot in the church, one foot in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, God says all or nothing. You can't double date him. You can't, you know, say you married to God and then you go out there and you moonlighting with the adversary. He says, because what will happen is any house that's divided against itself, it cannot stand. You cannot stand and both have a foot in both, call yourself having a foot in both kingdoms and be able to live a successful life. It just simply doesn't happen that way. In fact, one of the issues that was happening back in Hosea's day was the very thing that we're talking about right now. You know, you had people who had been in covenant with God, people who had been followers of God. And he says, you know, God is even saying this to the children of Israel. He's even saying this because he has some contentions with them. In accordance to Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we're going to talk about how that, you know, this is what he said in verse 1. He says this, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy or a pleading contention with the inhabitants of the land. He says this, he says, because there's no faithfulness. He says, there's no love. There's no pity. There's no mercy. But this is the big thing, or knowledge of God from a personal experience with him in the land. He says there is nothing but false swearing and breaking faith and killing and stealing and committing adultery. He says they break out into violence, one deed of bloodshed falling close on another. Therefore shall the land continually mourn, and all who dwell in it shall languish together with the wild beasts of the open country and the birds of the heavens. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall perish because of the drought, be collected and taken away. Now, did it say that God did any of those things? Nope. He says, because you got these things going on and you have no knowledge of God from a personal experience in the land, this is what the result is going to be. Remember, he had already said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose life. Now, he goes on to say this in verse number 6. He says, and this is the root of it. And this is what we're going to pick up next time. He says, this is the root why there's no knowledge of God in the land. He says this. He says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Remember, that's one of the things God says. There's no knowledge of God from a personal experience with him in the land. He says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, talking about the priest have rejected knowledge. He says, I also reject you that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. He says, I also will forget your children. Or he says, the more they increase and multiply in prosperity and power, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. Now, did it say God was against people having prosperity? Did it say that he was against people having power? He didn't say he was against any of that. He says, but what they did is they changed their priority from God to having priority in the resources and provisions and power and prosperity that they had, to the point that the priests themselves had turned themselves away from doing God's word or even teaching the people God's word. The priests themselves had begun to reject it. Remember, we talked about in the beginning how that, remember, there was the rainbow of God that was for the covenant that God made with the earth, and how the adversary is using that rainbow now for something that is clearly against what God's word says, and how even people in the body of Christ are beginning to buy into the propaganda, the brainwashing, and the ideologies of what the adversary is trying to present to them as normal, even when they know it is not. Now, what does that do? What does that have to do with you, man? You can make a decision to choose life today. How do you do it? It's simple. It's simple. And it's the same thing Paul was sharing with the church at Rome about what the Jews at Rome. Hey, this is, you know, the word. Talk about Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. He says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, he said, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believed it was one way, he says, but even though you had a zeal, you didn't have zeal according to knowledge. This is the knowledge that you need, that if you acknowledge Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Take out the confusion. Take out the distraction. Come away from the propaganda. Come away from the brainwash and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto you today. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you said that prayer, you know, in rededication, man, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you back into right position, welcome you into right relationship with God. Well, what do you do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the love of God and the kingdom of God. I know that Ignite Depot is such a place, but hey, man, you need, if you can't join us here each week at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, you got to find a church that's in your local area. If you need some help with that, man, send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com, info@ignitedepot.com, and we'd be more than willing to help you. Or if you have a prayer request, you'd like us to pray for you, man, send that prayer request to info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. And if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, so seasoned into the ministry, you can sell by way of credit card. You can do e-transfers. Man, you can send your e-transfers to give@ignitedepot.com. That's give@ignitedepot.com. And man, we'll be able to receive it. We'll pray over it. Believe God for harvest for you. And man, on behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you next time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.